Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. God, I'm looking bumpy. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? This show originates, the Eric Zane Show podcast, in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. They're awesome. You can check them out for a Yamaha golf cart. How about a brand new side-by-side? How about a motorcycle, e-bike, go-kart? They have it all. Check out the selection at impactpowersportsmi.com or visit them in person in Rockford, Michigan. Yeah, it's becoming more and more of a thing where these absurd old man bags under my eyes, it seems like at about 3 p.m, they'll subside. Just puffy. Oh my God. I look terrible. This is embarrassing. Last night, Pooh Bear wakes me up, and she's like, "You're talking in your sleep." I go, "Huh?" And I don't know what was going on. I remember very little, but she goes, "Were you fighting someone?" And I'm like, "I think so." And I think I was, but I don't recall who. I know that in the dream, I was pissed about something. And so Pooh Bear hears me talking, and she's like, "Were you pissed or were you fighting with someone?" I go, I don't know. I go, "Why?" She goes, "Because you told somebody to fuck off and die." And like out loud, I said, "Fuck off and die." And she's like, "What the?" And I go, "That sounds about right." Rebecca says, "Roll those under eye bags out with a." It's spelled G-U-A-S-H-A. I don't know how to say that. A gasha, a guasha, or a jade roller. Are you telling me that I can just smash them down and they'll go away? Guasha, Stevie says. Bob says, "Were you dreaming about Aram?" Oh, poor Aram. What's wrong with that guy? Has any of you ever been able to figure that guy out as to what's going on there? By the way, somebody tipped him off. I'm assuming it was our pal Kenny that I was bitching about him yesterday. And so I got the old, "Hey, I heard you were talking about me." I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go." And then Stevie says, "Wait, did he disappear too?" Yeah, he did. I don't know why. At first I thought I knew. But then, I mean, I thought it was something I did. But I don't know that it was, because he writes, "Hey, it had nothing to do with you. I just felt it was time for a change." I'm like, "What? What are you, a flake? Quit flaking out. What is wrong with you?" And so then I started to peck out a response email. And I was like, "You know, fucking don't even bother." You know, to kind of like bitch at him of where I was coming from. And I'm like, he seems to be fine. I mean, I don't know. He is a very mysterious dude. I have never been able to figure that guy out, but he always seemed like he never really liked me. And he was constantly trying to do shit. I don't know if it was stir the pot or manipulate or whatever. And it's like, what, huh? I don't get you. Megan says, I don't think he was mad all the time, but he really did seem like he disliked you most of the time. Yeah, that's been the consensus from most people in here, that he just didn't really seem to be that much fun and not at all happy with anything I did. And he wrote, yeah, for 8 years, I've decided I needed a change. I was like, that just sounds so strange to me that someone would take such a weird stance to a podcast where all I'm really the only thing I am on the hook for is doing my best to provide you with content that makes your day go by faster. Something interesting to talk about. That is my only goal every day, any day, you know. Rebecca says, I think he liked to be the contrarian. I don't know. Fuck. I don't even try to figure that shit out anymore. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to get in here. I'm going to make fun of my stupid fat face and the bags under my eyes and how ugly I am and all that other shit. And if that works, great. And if it doesn't, I don't give a shit. Fuck it. Yesterday, it was a Big Fraud Thursday. Show number 51 from Who Are These Free Beers is in the books. And we did a lot. I named the episode Steve's Owl Story. I think that's what I named it on Patreon. Oh, my God. Ben Glaze unpacked this one beautifully. Steve took the long way to tell this story. And, okay, it went back. So much backstory, so much setup, so many minute details that did not need to be explained. This went on and on and on. So much so that one of those show members on there actually called him out for the length of it. And that was fantastic. Luke says, I got bored yesterday and I made an Eric Zane Patreon ad in the style of shitty FBHW segment 17 ads featured on Who Are These Free Beers? Nice. Megan says, stories are short. This was the damn chronicle. God. It was fatiguing. The only way, I remember when I heard it, I was like, God damn it, this is tough. This is tough sledding right here. But the only way that story was digestible was in the way we did it. Corey says Hot Wings gets called boring a lot, but Steve has him beat. Zero reason for him to having a microphone. No, without a doubt. Yeah, I think he's very underrated on the boredom meter, and he's not bright. Hot Wings is smart. He actually has a brain on his head. He actually has brains in his head. Steve does not. Steve's not a smart guy. Today is my son's birthday. He is 30. What? Huh? He's 30. That is our firstborn. In fact, probably exactly 30 years ago, I was at home, seated on the carpet, building like a mobile for baby. That would be baby Jim. I believe I had the day off, or I was home early or something like that. I'm pretty sure I had the day off. And then Pooh Bear, this was on a Friday. Oh, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. What day of the week? Maybe it was a Saturday. Let me go back to the actual year. Okay. No, it was a Tuesday. But I know I was home because I remember what happened. Pooh Bear was seated on this couch. and she's ready to pop. And just prior to what I'm about to tell you happening, I've talked about this before, I had developed this sense of dread because I was a little on, I was on pins and needles. We all were, you know, you never know what can happen when a baby is delivered. And I remember this, I still can't listen to this song today. It's called Lightning Crashes by Live. Lightning crashes, an old mother cries. It's a song about a mom who dies during childbirth. Now, that didn't happen, obviously, but still, I had this bad vibe as that song is. I'm listening to the radio, building a fucking mobile, and I'm like, oh, the fuck? This is terrible. I shut off the radio. I'm never listening to that song again. Fuck that shit. And then moments later, Pooh Bear has her hands on her belly, and she's got a concerned look on her face. And I go, what? And she said, I don't feel good. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I don't know. Something's not right. This is that mom instinct, you know? They've got like a sense about it. Corey, do you realize that of the last 8 chat entries, you've made 7 of them? Does that stand out to you as somewhat suspect as we're talking here? Take a look at the screen. You see your username. 8 comments, 7 of which are yours. Now 8 of 9. How many of those have I actually read? None. Kevin in Northern Ontario is here. He says somebody's day drinking. Let's just enjoy the story. I don't know. There's got to be something else you can do. I'll take it from here. I can do this. This would be the point in the show when Aram would write, here comes the lecture. And I'd be like, shut the fuck up. I go, what's the matter, Pooh Bear? I don't feel good. So we call the nurse's station. We had been in a couple of times for like contractions and whatnot. That there was, we thought earlier in the week she was going to have Jim. And the nurses go, come on in. Come on in right now. So we drive in. They hook her up. They have that ultrasound thing. You know, they put the jelly on. And then the nurses, taking a look at the screen, and she's looking for something and she's not seeing what she needs to see. So I can tell she's concerned. And in the back of my head, all I hear is lightning crashes. An old mother dies. And I'm like, oh God, it's fucking happening. Holy shit. It's live. Something bad's going to happen. It's coming. Oh my God. It's foreboding. It's coming true. And she goes, all right, we got to go. And so the doc comes in and he's like, what is it? And she's like, look at this. And he's like, oh, okay. Emergency C-section right now. Stat. Prep her for surgery immediately. We're going, oh my God. No. Holy shit. My God. Emergency. Why? What the fuck's happening? It turns out that Pooh Bear's body had absorbed all of the amniotic fluid that is in her belly to keep our guy healthy and happy. Over time, her body absorbed that. So it's all dry in there. It's probably as uncomfortable for Jim as anal dry. Don't ask me why that came out of me. Anyway, he's in there kind of like in distress. Now, we don't know it at the time, but that distress caused him to take a dump in there, which typically that happens, and the mother's system eradicates that because it's such a high-tech working system inside of there. You know, it's a depositing of the material so that the kid doesn't ingest it. Well, you know, basically, hot baby diarrhea went in his lungs. Like, he sniffed hot baby diarrhea, and it went in his lungs, and that's bad. You know, can you, like, all the times that you wipe and it's not that, you don't do that great of a job, and you're like, oh, God, it's something, it's irritating your asshole. Well, that's what it's doing to his lungs. We don't know that. Baby comes out. Jim, emergency C-section. He's orange. I'm like, what the fuck? What's supposed to be like that white type of material on him that they wipe off? It's orange because of the poop. And he's not breathing. He is not breathing. And I see frantic work. I'm on one side of the curtain by Pooh Bear's head. And I see frantic work going on and eye glances and side eyes from, like, nurses. And they're like, basically, they're concerned. Something's wrong. Something's going on. And then I hear this weakest little, and it's Jim. I'm like, oh, my God. And by the way, Stevie writes, JFC, this is so gross. Yeah. What the fuck? This is a great story. What is wrong with you? It fucking happens a billion times a day. You fucking childless dick. It's not my fault your womb's barren. Anyway, I hear, ugh. I'm like, oh my God, he's okay. Yeah, but he's not. He's not at all. So they have to transport him. Like, hours pass. You know, and there's a moment in time where, you know, because the word has spread to my family that this is happening. So everybody rushes to this hospital, and they all live far away. And I'll never forget it. My stepdad, who every moment of every time that we see him, he's got a video camera up to his face. He cataloged everything. And it was so awkward because I'm there just staring at my son from the other side of the glass, looking at him in the little incubator, all right, or whatever it is. And he's got tubes in him, and he is breathing so hard. And I'm like, this is terrible. This is the worst. And this physician, his name is Lloyd Helder. Jim's, he's the pediatrician. And he's a big, giant guy, older dude, still alive today. I looked him up. He's retired. He's got this posture. His arm is crossed, the other arm, and he's got his, like, face in his hand, and he's just staring at Jim. And he comes up to me like this, and I go, Dr. Heller, what do you think? And he says, I'm not going to lie to you. Your son has about a 50% chance of surviving. There's major damage to his lungs, where there's also a heart defect. And this first night will tell the tale. And then I'm like, oh, my God. I'm fucking 24 years old. I'm like, no, shit. God damn it. Amanda references that when I told this story on the radio, there was a moment when spit flew out of my mouth and it hit the touch screen at the radio station and it hit the song by Todd Rundgren, I Don't Want to Work, I Want to Bang the Drum. So at this key point, I'm telling that story. Then all of a sudden the audience hears, I don't want to work. I'm like, oh, shit, fuck. It's incredible. Ben might have that somewhere. So then I look, and there's a video camera in my face, and I had to look at the camera and tell my stepfather, Hey, it's not a good time. Not a good time. Oh, my God. Danko says, did Freebeer sniffle and cry? I did not know Freebeer then. I was at the mobile home of rock and roll. And, my God. But he made it. The little fucker made it. My God, it was incredible. And then Easter came and went. And I had there was a priest that was there. And I was super Catholic then. We actually we baptized him. I baptized him. And then we also, like, I hate to say it, but we also gave him the last rites. Like, he was, in case he croaked, we wanted him to be, like, and I'm like, well, I don't even know why we need to do this. And the priest is like, why? I was like, well, you know, that's supposed to, I mean, if you're Catholic, you can say, I'm going to confess my sins, Father, I'm dying. I slaughtered a family of 10 in a mass shooting, and I got away with it. He's like, oh, you're blessed. Forgive you. You're going to heaven. Oh, great. Yeah. And I go, but he's like a few hours old. Why the hell do we need to do this? He's like, just trust me. You got to do this. Born into sin. I go, born into sin? What the fuck are you talking about? He's fucking had a horrible time here. Why? This is ridiculous. Nah, you got to do it. So I'm going to do that. You baptize him. I'm going to give you the power. I go, give me the power. He goes, yep. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I bless you. You go baptize me. All right. Baptize him. I don't know, man. I just follow along. I just try to keep the car on the road here. I stayed in the neonatal intensive care unit for about 2 weeks. And then my man came home. But he said, all right, they said, but he's got his heart's fucked up. Hey, what do you mean? He got a hole in his heart. Hole in his heart. Yeah. So it's, you got to watch that, and we're going to correct it. Fast forward, he's a year old. We go to Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's day of heart surgery. They're going to close the hole. They put a catheter in his leg, and they take it up there. And this little catheter, I don't know if you know this, it has all sorts of sensors on it to make sure that while they're in there, they'll go in and determine various diagnostic information, like a car. You know, you plug your shit. Hey, you need a new motor. Oh, my God. Well, that'll do the same thing. And so it says that in Jim's little heart chambers, that though there is a hole, his heart was operating at a absolutely fine level. There was no need to do any more work with this catheter, because they were going to like inflate something and do something. And there was a valve issue that they wanted to correct. So they like removed everything. They aborted the surgery. And then that was it. We went home. And then as he grew up, the hole in his heart closed on its own. And the rest is history. Here he is today, 30 years old. I just talked to my man. And I just can't believe that I've got a 30-year-old son. Holy shit. That's ridiculous. And he's going to be with me today, along with my oldest daughter. I talk about this on the Patreon, but I get a phone call yesterday from the hockey team. And it's either going to be one of like two things. Just, hey, there's an auction after the game. We need you to do the auction for the Grand Rapids Griffins. Or it's, why did you post that, you asshole? You're in trouble. These are the only things I get these phone calls about. So I'm hoping it's the first one, that there's an auction. Hello. Hey, it's Brandon. Hey, Brandon. Hey, just wanted to give you a heads up. I'm like, here it comes. Here it comes. Somebody's pissed. I did something wrong. I'm in trouble. It's going to get ugly. We are recognizing you for 20 years of being the PA announcer for the Grand Rapids Griffins. Congratulations. I go, what? You are? And I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, that is incredible. I did not see that coming. I'm like, I don't deserve that. What the hell? It's my job. Megan with the great question. Are they giving away Eric Zane chia pets like they did for Dog Thompson? I don't know. I go, well, okay, what does this mean? He goes, what it means is after the first period, we got something planned for you. I don't want to ask too many questions. I go, okay, all right. I feel like a child at this point with excitement. If you have any family there, they need to meet us at this spot, and then this is going to happen. I'm like, what the fuck? I go, all right. So it just so happens, Pooh Bear, my wife, and our son, Jim, and our daughter, Jackie, are going to be there. So if you're at that game, it's going to be something. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'm probably going to cry. All right. Welcome in to Debbie CSM. Hello to you. First time here. I'm on the edge of my seat listening to this story, praying no ads interrupt it, and I miss any of it. Oh, wouldn't that be the worst? I hope that did not happen. Welcome to you. What part of the world are you in? I always like to get information about people. So welcome. Chris says, on his birthday, are you going to tell him that you love him like a son? That story in a second. That's worth telling again. Debbie says she is in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I've never been. Joe Martinez says, I was going to go, but now I won't go. So years ago, I was living in Tennessee doing radio. And I ended up calling my father because I had a question for him. Now, this is so perfect for my dad because even before dementia put him into its grip, this would happen regularly. This type of scenario at this time that this happened. Let's see, it's 25 now. So, yeah, I would say 25 years ago. Maybe even earlier, but not much. So that would make him in his late 60s when this happened. I get a birthday card and I open it up and it says, Eric, I love you like a son. I go, So I show it to Greg and Chris. I go, is this weird? And they go, yeah. It's like he's saying you're not a son, but he loves you like one. Like, you would never give someone who is your son a greeting card that says, and you hand write, Dear Eric, I love you like a son. Like, if Aram didn't flake out, I may have at one point wrote, Dear Aram, I love you like a son. Or I love you like a brother. Because he's not. But I may love him like one. So I'm like, my dad is, I don't think he's either telling me I'm adopted or not really his son, or he's just incompetent. I'm on the radio. We call him live. Hello, Dad. Yeah, guy. I got your birthday card. Hey, happy birthday. I love you. I go, I love you too. What is it? Well, it's what you wrote. What? What did I write? You wrote, I love you like a son. Yeah, I do. I love you. Like a son. I go, do you know how that... Now, it might have been language barrier involved. I mean, English is his third language. So, I don't know, man. But that was so common growing up to get into these head-scratching moments where you're like, what the fuck? Chris says, I'm convinced your dad does not know your name is Eric, and it's actually Guy or Meathead. Hey, Meathead! Hey! He got out of calling me Meathead, but, you know, outstanding. Let's see. Is there anything about Dad that I need to tell you? No, he's still kicking. And, you know, with dementia, you're going to have the same conversation over and over again. I mean, that is a thing. And that's not the case with his lovely wife, my stepmother, who's 89. She's as sharp as can be. Rebecca says, I miss hearing your dad. I hope he is healthy and doing as well as possible. Yeah, as long as he's with Joanne. As long as he's with Joanne and as long as he's in his home. The familiarity there, I don't think I can say that word right, is absolutely key. So there's been talk from various family members about them moving into a place or moving into another home or something like that. And Pooh Bear was like, I don't think that's a good idea. Because they're like, well, we got to have someone watch him. We got to do this. We got to do that. And my stepmother does not agree. And my wife does not agree. She does agree with my stepmother. And I agree with my wife because, like what Megan says, taking him out of the house could be so scary for him. Yeah, because he doesn't know where he is. And he'd be like concerned. It's not familiar. It's because his brain's constantly resetting. He's got enough bonds in the household that he's not frightened in his own home. He realizes his surroundings. But can you imagine constantly being tricked that you don't know where you're at? I mean, that's kind of like when you wake up from a dream and you don't know where you are. Or let's say you're out from sedation from a surgery and you wake up and there's that big moment where you're not quite sure what's happening. That's a terrifying moment in time where you eventually it resets and you're like, oh, okay, I know where I'm at. Now I know. The dream is over. I'm coming out of the sedation. That never happens to the poor guy. All right. I watched a bit of a short documentary. It was, I don't even know what it is. I didn't save it, but it was about, this is a totally different topic, about that Supermax prison in El Salvador. This came up on my feed, no doubt, because of the migrants, the gang members who were sent there. I shouldn't say migrants. The people that were sent to the El Salvador prison were gang members. All right. There's a big difference between a gang member and a guy who just works in a field. And 200 of these gang members were sent to this Supermax prison in El Salvador. This was the one that Christy Noem went to. This is the most intense prison you will ever see. And this is the one where all the guys have their shirts off, their heads are all shaved, and you can see all of their tattoos. And what I learned when watching this is that these intense criminals are every single tattoo has something to do with what they've done. Like there'll be skulls on there of like people that they've killed and shit. It is quite a scenario. It's a place you do not want to be. And they built this thing just a few years ago in El Salvador. And there's a lot to the building of it and why it is in the first place, which is a entire Pandora's box to even get into. As to how it came to be, but it's supposed to hold like 40,000 people. And this is like a glimpse of what's going on in there. And you see, they're all just standing there looking out That's what they do all day, is just stand there. There's these enormous holding pens. And let's say you can put 1,000 people in that holding pen. There's like 800 beds. So there's not enough room for them to sleep. And they get no blankets. They get no clothes other than what you see here. The lights are on all the time. They will see no visitors ever. They will never get out of this. And their day is just standing there looking out. And it's just making their brains go to mush. And I couldn't be happier about this. This is what you want to do to people who are homicidal maniacs. Did I just say homicidal? Chris says that's where Bane was born. Yeah, this is look at the size of this guy, Chris points out. That guy's like 4 foot tall. He's like Joe C.
Inmates. They're doing physical exercise over here. There's a trainer there. This is the only time these...
They're allowed to come out in each pod and do like 30 minutes of calisthenics.
Please get out of your cells.
These activities take place for a total of 1 hour per week under the watch of armed guards. For the rest of the time, they are locked inside. They used to control the streets. Now, they can't even take a step with their free will.
It's a rotating schedule. There's not enough space, so they can't all go out on the same day.
Has there ever been a chaotic incident when the inmates were outside of their cells?
So far, nothing.
Whenever we focus the camera on a cell, we often catch a prisoner silently mouthing words. Even behind bars, gang members attempt to send orders to the outside. This prisoner was doing just that, but we censored him to block the message. Despite the crackdown, these groups still hold significant power outside. Rumors suggest they have plans for taking revenge by targeting innocent people. But in recent...
And the tattoos are everything. You notice they're all tatted up, faces, heads. That's all important in what they're doing. This is... couple of gangs, I forget the name of them. MS-13 is one. A lot of people have heard of that. And there's another one, I think they're called Barrio 18. They're rival gangs, but they're all kept in the same cells. And they just look at each other.
Authorities threaten to impose even harsher measures on imprisoned members.
If they do that, there won't even be one meal in prison. Uno.
That's the president of El Salvador.
I swear to God, they won't eat a grain of rice. Let's see how long their homeboys last inside.
Here they get 3 meals.
And their crime rate has dropped dramatically. It's actually described as the safest country in the world right now.
Meal time. Breakfast.
Because of the prison. And they're just grabbing people off the street and throwing them into it. Now, there are people that have been talking on a civil rights level or human rights level that this is not fair and wrong. But who gives a shit?
Lunch and dinner.
El menú del desayuno.
Breakfast is usually beans and rice.
Oh, frijoles.
For lunch, they get white rice and pasta.
They get no meat, by the way, and I don't know why that is.
And dinner's pretty much the same. The only thing that changes is the drink. There's no nutritious food like chicken or meat.
I think they want to keep them out of shape to avoid them getting strong.
This is the lunch. It's rice, pasta, and 2 tortillas.
Does the menu vary from day to day?
No.
Is it the same every day?
It's always the same. It's for freshmen.
Okay. It's a sugary drink. I'm going to taste it for myself.
Inmates must eat with their hands and clean their plates before returning them. With a diet lacking in protein, many likely suffer from nutritional deficiency.
There it is.
Before starting our interview with an inmate, I want to show you one more place that is even more...
This is the hole.
...extreme than what you've seen so far.
Here we are in the isolation cell area. If inmates break a rule, they can be sent to these isolation cells according to the legislation. The law gives me the right to keep the prisoners in isolation for up to 15 days. These cells have sealed doors. Through this grid, I can see them and identify who's inside. We serve food here, and we also use this space to put handcuffs on them before opening the door to move them from here to their cell.
Welcome to the isolation cell. If an inmate misbehaves, this is where he ends up. He won't know the time or how much longer he'll be kept inside. For days or even weeks, he sleeps on this concrete bed without ever leaving. They are cut off from the outside world, left alone with nothing but their thoughts.
Okay, I could watch all of this. I cannot. What a desperate, desperate thing. My God. David says, I'm totally for this. F those guys. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.